You ready?
Showtime.
On May 3rd, summer starts with the Fall Guy.
What are you doing later?
Let's drink a spicy margarita.
Make some bad decisions.
Yes!
Audiences are falling in love with the most entertaining film of the year.
Fall Guy.
Fall Guy.
Fall Guy. That's what the poster said.
See Ryan Gosling and Emily Blunt in the movie critics say exists to make you happy.
Trying to make it out?
Nope.
Because I don't either. It's not what I'm into right now.
What are you into?
Talking.
Yeah.
The Fall Guy. Only in theaters May 3rd. Rated PG-13.
Back to the NFL. Despite the headlines and questions surrounding his future, Lamar Jackson is on the field practicing with his Baltimore Ravens squad without a contract extension. But that's not what headlines we're going to be talking about here. An anonymous quote from an NFL defensive coordinator regarding Ravens quarterback Lamar Jackson was released Monday by Mike Sando of The Athletic, saying that this is what he said. If he has to pass to win the game, they ain't winning the game. He's so unique as an athlete, and he's really good. He's a really good football player, but I don't give a not-for-TV word if he wins the league MVP 12 times. I don't think he'll ever be one as a quarterback. He'll be one as a football player, but not as a quarterback. And here is Coach John Harbaugh on the, quote, anonymous coach's remarks.
He's been hearing the same thing since he was probably in junior high. You know, I know he heard it in college. I know he heard it through the draft. I know we hear some of the same people saying the same things they said in the draft, you know. That keeps coming up. I don't know who this guy named Anonymous is. You know, I haven't met him yet. So I don't even know why we report on what he has to say. But it is what it is. It's just baloney. It's just nothing. It's a big nothing burger.
It's a big old baloney nothing burger, folks. But Sam, I'm going to start with you. Is Lamar the toughest QB for defensive coordinators to plan against?
I think he is. I think he's the toughest to game plan against. Maybe not necessarily defensive coordinators, but defensive players to try and game plan against. Usually throughout the week in practice, you'll have a game plan. You'll go through your game plan, then you'll have certain players on the scout team try to simulate or act out what the opposing player will do. You might have a DB go and play quarterback to try and reenact a super fast quarterback, or you might have your backup quarterback go and try and reenact some of the plays. With Lamar Jackson, there's no way to simulate what you're going to see in real-time game speed. It's impossible. We've seen him make Buffalo Bills players look stupid. He's seen him make everybody in the league look stupid. But that's just one piece of it. Lamar added to his game, as we know, the ability to throw the ball. That's why he won MVP. And so a lot of times you can simulate just speed and making people miss and all that. But now Lamar Jackson has become a prolific passer as well. And you cannot simulate that no matter how hard you try. So for me, that's why Lamar Jackson is the toughest person to try to game plan against.
And Sam, I can't sit up here and argue with you about that, because when you look at scout teams try to mimic a guy like Lamar Jackson, it's humanly impossible, because if you have a guy that can do those things, he's probably not going to be on the scout team. He's probably going to be your starting quarterback to go ahead and make that statement. But for me, I have Patrick Mahomes. And the reason why I chose Patrick Mahomes is because this guy has had so much success in the National Football League since becoming a starter. We see 4 years of hosting the AFC Championship game, not to mention going to 2 Super Bowls, winning MVP, throwing 50 touchdowns. And at the same time, I'm trying to see defensive coordinators try to mimic his skill set as well while they're trying to get their secondary right for a game. And for me, when it comes to Patrick Mahomes, it's the off-script plays, y'all. It's the plays that you don't draw up and the plays that you have on the screen or the script that Patrick Mahomes makes time and time again. You talk about deep balls. You talk about every throw on the football field he can make. And if you have a quarterback on the scout team that can mimic Patrick Mahomes, well, hell, you probably should be fired as a head coach, because he should be your starting quarterback as well. So I'm going to go with Patrick Mahomes in those regards.
Well, we've got another friend joining the show. Oh, Sam, you want to finish that real quick? No, we'll get Chris in here. We got Chris Canty here joining us too, Sam. So we got to bring Chris in on the fun. Chris, what are your thoughts? Is Lamar Jackson the toughest QB to game plan for? And I can't talk clearly. So.
Well, first of all, Victoria, I think I'm more qualified than both of these guys, because I'm a defensive lineman and I was responsible for chasing quarterbacks all over the field. Mm-hmm. But I got to agree with Harry on this one. I think Patrick Mahomes is the more difficult quarterback to prepare for. And if you just look at the statistics, if you look at the empirical data, since Pat Mahomes took over in 2018, no offense has scored more points. No offense has had a higher margin of victory. No offense has had a better point differential, and no offense has had a higher expected EPA in any league. And that last stat with offensive EPA is not even remotely close. The number two team is the Green Bay Packers with 513 points. The Kansas City Chiefs have 713 points when it comes to expected points added. So when you look at that, that is the receipts when we start talking about how difficult it is to defend this Kansas City Chiefs offense led by Pat Mahomes. And guys, I'll tell you this, if you just want to look at a practical example of all of that information I just gave you, think back to the divisional round in the postseason this past year. We're talking about the Buffalo Bills having a three-point lead with 13 seconds left, and the Chiefs got the ball on their own 25. Pat Mahomes completes a 20-yarder to Tyreek Hill. Pat Mahomes completes another 25-yarder to Travis Kelce, sets up a 49-yard field goal to Harrison Butker to put the game into overtime. They end up winning that game and advancing to the AFC Championship game. That just shows you how difficult it is to slow down this Kansas City Chiefs offense when you think about the combination of Pat Mahomes' arm talent, his ability to manipulate the pocket, his ability to deliver the football with different arm angles, and you couple that with the creativity of Andy Reid, it makes it a deadly combination. It's a threat that keeps defensive coordinators up at night.
Yeah, well, here's the great thing about that last play you were talking about, Canty. That last play, yes, talk about Patrick Mahomes and his ability to maneuver, and he's phenomenal. But really, it's hard to game plan against Tyreek Hill. It's hard to game plan for Travis Kelce. That's really who it was hard to game plan against in those scenarios, and Patrick Mahomes as well. But that was Travis Kelce and Patrick Mahomes and Tyreek Hill that made that play happen. When it comes to Lamar Jackson's been doing this on his own without all of those weapons, right? With a team that is a run-first team, at least historically has been a run-first team. He still went and won MVP, right? And so when it comes to game planning for a player, you point to that specific empirical example. Well, that example wasn't as much about Patrick Mahomes' excellence. Maybe the 20-yard pass was, right? But it's really about Tyreek Hill's route running and really about Travis Kelce's ability to maneuver defenses, right? And so that's that point. And then secondly, you talked about being more qualified. Well, I played outside linebacker myself, so I'm qualified, just as qualified as you are to talk about trying to defend these guys, right? So the point is that both these guys are extremely difficult to game plan against for reasons, right? We understand that. But the added value of Tyreek Hill, try to game plan against him. Like, who's the main guy you're looking at when you're playing the Chiefs, right? Of course, Mahomes, but Tyreek Hill, how do you game plan for him? Who's wearing the black jersey, number 10? Who's wearing 87? Who's trying to emulate Travis Kelce? Who's trying to emulate what Andy Reid is calling plays? That's hard to game plan against, right? Including Patrick Mahomes. But then you go to the other side and you go to the Baltimore Ravens. It's pretty much Lamar. Like, that's who you're game planning against, and you still can't stop him. He still wins MVP. You say he can't throw the ball, he still goes and throws and wins MVP. You say he can't win a playoff game, he still goes and wins a playoff game. That's one man with very little help, limited help, and he's impossible to game plan against. So for me, that's why I would say it's Lamar Jackson in that scenario that you gave, Chris Canty, because that scenario that you gave, I think, has more to do with the other players surrounding him.
But Chris,
I don't know if that's the case, Acho, because
there's somebody
burger right there.
There's not a nothing burger. We got a little bit of a delay here, but here's what I'll say to that, Acho. There's still somebody that has to get them the football. There's still somebody that has to navigate the rush that they're dealing with. There's still somebody that has to break contain on the edge of the defense in order to buy time for Travis Kelce and for Tyreek Hill to get downfield, and that's where Pat Mahomes shows up. Now, listen, we'll never be able to prove who's more responsible over the last 4 years for the offensive success, because you can never prove a hypothetical. If you take Tyreek Hill out of that offense, we can't say whether or not Pat Mahomes would have the same degree of success. But what I will say is I trust Andy Reid and I trust Pat Mahomes, that marriage, to be able to figure out a way to be productive. And so I think about when we forecast what the future looks like for Pat Mahomes and whether or not they'll still be difficult to defend in 2022, that's what I'm leaning on. And so I just think with the ability, the talent level, the skill set, and the intangibles that Pat Mahomes brings to the table, I think that combination of it is what makes him hard to defend. Not being disrespectful to Lamar Jackson, because he brings a different element, a different style, but when it comes to trying to defend an offense, Pat Mahomes makes you defend more of the field because he's a more consistent passer down the field outside of the numbers. Not to mention, this is also a guy that can have those plays where he can scramble and convert for first downs by using his legs. He doesn't do it as often as Lamar Jackson, but that ability is there as well. So I just think when it comes to defending the entire field, Pat Mahomes gives you more to prepare for than Lamar Jackson.
Yeah, I mean, I'll say this, and Harry, you could pop in real quick, but it's not a hypothetical anymore, right? You said it was a hypothetical Tyreek Hill. Tyreek Hill's not with the Chiefs anymore. Tyreek Hill's in Miami. And so now it's a better chance to prove. So that's like not a hypothetical, but also more so, you have to defend more of the field because there are more weapons that the Kansas City Chiefs have, right? Yes, Mahomes is the best quarterback and he's excellent, all those things, but there are more weapons. We cannot ignore that. Lamar Jackson is doing that with he did it with Hollywood Brown, and you know what I mean? Yeah, like a very good tight end, but not as many weapons as Kansas City Chiefs. So that's my whole point. That's where I believe the difference lies.
Yeah, and I think it's safe to say when you look at both of these guys, they are tremendous talents. And defensive coordinators wouldn't want a game plan for either one of them. Mm-hmm. But you have a guy in Patrick Mahomes who's won a Super Bowl, been an MVP. Lamar Jackson hasn't got there yet. But that doesn't mean defensive coordinators want to sit up there and game plan, because both of them, when you talk about these guys, they're going to be up all night long trying to see how you got to defend them.
Well, and Lamar had a bit of a struggleville last year with the season-ending injury, and his interception and sack rates had spiked. But who knows? He could come back. He's got a lot to prove.
Brought to you by the Capital One Venture Card. Earn unlimited double miles on every purchase every day, and you can use those miles on any travel purchase. Plus, earn unlimited 5x miles on hotels and rental cars booked through Capital One Travel. Your next trip is closer than you think with the Venture Card from Capital One. Terms apply. See CapitalOne.com for details.
Hey, Molly Karam here, and thanks so much for listening to the First Take podcast. Vivid Seats wants to get you to the games you love this spring. Experience every pitch, assist, game-winning shot live and in person. And the best part, each transaction is a step toward a free 11th ticket with Vivid Seats rewards. Score unbeatable perks like free tickets, surprise seat upgrades, and annual birthday deals. As the official ticketing partner of ESPN, Vivid Seats is offering you $20 off your first $200 ticket purchase with code TAKE. That's code TAKE. Visit vividseats.com or download the app today. Vivid Seats, experience it live.
Day one of the Browns training camp is in the book, and Cleveland's new quarterback, Deshaun Watson, was in attendance despite awaiting a potential suspension from the NFL. Back in March, Watson was traded to Cleveland and received a five-year, $230 million contract extension. In June, Watson settled 20 of his 24 civil suits, accusing him of sexual assault and sexual misconduct. And here's teammate Myles Garrett on the QB's situation.
You move as if, you know, he will be or won't be. You know, you don't really keep it in your mind like that. I mean, he's on the field with us right now. He will be on the field with us throughout preseason, training and working out. I feel like, you know, once we get to the season, it'll all work itself out.
Has his whole situation, has it been a distraction for you guys?
No. I mean, when I was working on the offseason, I hardly paid any attention to it.
There's a lot to unpack there, but Chris, talk to us why you have an issue with Watson being at camp.
Well, I don't necessarily have an issue with Deshaun Watson being at camp. I think he needs to be there. And although you are concerned about the distraction that it presents with all of the questions that not only he's going to face, but the rest of that team, the rest of that organization, the Cleveland Browns have to go about their business in terms of preparing for the season. They don't know how long Deshaun Watson is going to be suspended, and so they have to make sure that they allow him to get the reps that he needs in order to get prepared to play his best ball when he becomes available. And so I think Cleveland is taking the right approach with allowing Deshaun Watson to participate in all of the drills. Keep in mind, this is not a guy that's had a ton of time to get to know his new teammates, not a ton of time to get himself familiarized with Kevin Stefanski's offense. Every day matters. Every rep matters.
Every rep matters. Thank you, Chris. Now let's take a turn to Miami Gardens, where Dolphins quarterback Tua Tagovailoa is entering what could be a career-defining season. It's no secret that Tua has full backing from teammate Tyreek Hill, who's had strong supportive comments on his QB this offseason, including earlier this week on First Take. And it seems that the feeling is mutual for the new duo, as Tua had this to say about Hill.
Tyreek is someone that has established himself, well established himself in this league, and to have the support from him means a lot. And I'm glad to have him as my teammate.
All right, Acho, has Hill put too much pressure on Tua this offseason?
Yes, he has, and I don't like it. I don't like it. I love the fact that you support your quarterback, right? I get it. But when you start comparing Tua to Patrick Mahomes and saying he's more accurate and all these kinds of things, what happens is it sounds good now, and it sounds amazing, right? Like, oh, yeah, you know, he's better in practices. And blah, blah, blah. But then when the season starts, and if Tua's not looking good. When they don't, mind you, the first four games, they played two top defenses in the NFL, and you play the Ravens as well. This is the Dolphins. Play the Ravens as well, who, outside of last year's injuries, were a top defense. If Tua comes out not looking good, all this praise will have to be accounted for, not somewhere by you, right? By you, Tyreek Hill. And so for me, yes, believe in your quarterback. No issues at all. Yes, like, be his biggest cheerleader. No issues at all. But when it goes that far, right? He's more accurate, and he's this, and he's that, and da-da-da, and I'm glad. Like, when it goes that far, to me, that puts too much pressure on a quarterback that is in not only a prove-it year, but in a lot of ways, like we just said, a career-defining year. I don't like all the comments in the media that Tyreek Hill is making about his quarterback. I like the belief. I love the belief. But all the comments in the media, I don't like it.
We love the belief, not the comments. What about you, Harry?
Acho, newsflash. I don't know if you heard it or not, but Tua Tagovailoa has pressure on him regardless if Tyreek Hill is making it. When you look at the moves this offseason that the Miami Dolphins made, bringing in Chase Edmonds and Raheem Mostert in the backfield, bringing in a Tyreek Hill, Cedric Wilson just signed Mohamed Sanu, Teron Armstead, you have two solid tight ends and Connor Williams. The pressure is going to be on you regardless. Let me tell you what I actually think it can do, though. When you have a receiver of the caliber of Tyreek Hill, who has been prominent in this league, that DBs are scared of, and he's talking like this about his quarterback, it also can bring some confidence to Tua as well. And give him that confidence booster that he may need to get over the hump. So when I look at this, no, I don't have a problem with Tyreek Hill saying this, because let's all say this now. We're big boys. It's National Football League. We're not in Mighty Mite. We're not babysitting anybody. He's praising his quarterback. This could be a positive effect on Tua Tagovailoa.
Yeah, I'm with Harry on this one. I completely agree with where he's coming from. And here's the thing, whether we're talking about the offseason additions by the Miami Dolphins or the commentary from Tyreek Hill, there's going to be pressure on Tua because he was the fifth overall pick a couple of years ago. And keep in mind, their general manager, Chris Greer, decided to take him over Justin Herbert, who's thrown for 69 touchdown passes in his first two seasons. So if you didn't think that there was pressure on Tua before these Tyreek Hill comments, you're kidding yourselves. Now, as far as one of your teammates going on the record and saying that you're one of the most accurate quarterbacks in the National Football League, I think it can serve as a bit of a confidence booster. And confidence comes from, most of the time, demonstrated performance. But you can't look at any of the things that Tua has done in his first couple of years and think that that's going to be the confidence he needs in order to perform at the level that everybody's expecting him to in 2022. And guys, my last comment about Tua, I'll say this. Looking at the division, the AFC East, clearly, Josh Allen is the best quarterback. Guys, I don't know that Tua isn't the worst quarterback in that division. And that's saying something for a guy that was the fifth overall pick going into his third year.
Wow.
I'll say this, Canty and Harry. Confidence comes from performance. Confidence doesn't come from comments. I'll say it one more time so we can all hear. Confidence comes from performance, from demonstrated performance. I did it before. I can do it again. So I'm confident that I'll be able to do it. Confidence doesn't come because, oh, Tyreek Hill thinks I'm the most accurate. Now all of a sudden I'm going to become and morph into the most accurate. If you were before, you'll be it again. If you weren't, you won't. You don't just get more accurate because Tyreek Hill believes you're more accurate. You get more accurate because you were already more accurate. You're working on it in the offseason. Confidence doesn't come from comments. So saying that doesn't, yeah, sure, it helps his confidence a little bit, but doesn't make him a better quarterback because of what Tyreek Hill said. Number one and number two. What I'll say is this. Yes, of course, there's pressure on Tua Tagovailoa. We all know that. No one's sitting here saying there's no pressure. We're all preaching pressure that's on Tua. So why add more? Right? If there's already all this pressure, the fifth overall, you already picked before Justin Herbert, all these things that we're saying, all this stuff in X, Y, and Z, and all these pieces that we added, and receivers, and Cedric Wilson, and da, 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 like, why add more? Why add more pressure? I understand it's not the Mighty Mites. It's the big boy league. It's the NFL. It's the best in the business. We all can handle pressure, of course, and some have it more than others. Tua has more pressure than others. And so why add more pressure to your quarterback when we already have all the pressure in the world this year? It doesn't make any sense on why to add it, especially if confidence doesn't come from those comments.
Well, I know sometimes I don't mind somebody giving me a positive comment, hey, it may boost my confidence a little bit. So I'm not going to sit up here and say that comments from people don't boost confidence. You can't sit up here and say that. I'm pretty sure somebody has gave you a compliment. Hey, Acho, I like your book. Your book is pretty damn good. You're not going to sit up here and tell me that don't boost your confidence a little bit. You know, so we can't say it doesn't boost Tua's confidence.
For sure. It doesn't make you a better quarterback. It doesn't make you a better quarterback. Doesn't make me a better. You love my book. I wrote my book, Let the World See You, right? You love it. You read it. It's the best book ever. But that doesn't make me a better writer because you like my book, right?
It doesn't
you like
change
the book because it's
that.
A great book. It's a phenomenal book. You read it. Right?
Can boost your confidence,
I like
though,
Tua,
Acho.
Right? It doesn't make Tua a better quarterback just because he's making it. For me, that part of it isn't adding all the way up. It's sure, it boosted a little bit. Sure, but it's not enough to tip the scales of the pressure that you're adding. We're talking about these comments right now. If he wouldn't make it, we wouldn't be talking about it as much.
Chris, I'll let you jump in.
Acho. Exactly. Preference my confidence by saying confidence comes from demonstrated performance. But in some instances, you don't have the performance to lean on, so you need the people around you to believe in you in order for you to go out there and execute, in order for you to have that swag to go out there and do what they're asking you to do. Now, when we start looking at this situation with the Miami Dolphins and with Tua Tagovailoa, if you're worried that he's going to wilt under the pressure that the commentary creates, then I'll say it again. He's not your franchise quarterback. And you have to think about the decision that this Dolphins organization has to make, because they got two first-round draft picks in 2023. They got to find out exactly what Tua is. And if he doesn't go out there and perform up to the level because you think he's going to wilt under the pressure of the expectations, then all of a sudden you're talking about a situation where the Dolphins are moving on from Tua. He's not your guy.
I agree with that completely, and I totally agree with that, right? There's so much pressure, and that pressure isn't going anywhere. So to me, it still doesn't. I just don't understand why you would, if going back to Tyreek Hill, why you would go that hard on your quarterback, unless of course you believe it, and maybe he does, and I'm sure he does, and all those things. And that's great, right? We're not talking about whether he believes it or not. We're talking about what it does to Tua and if it's worth it. For me, it's not worth it, because at the end of the day, you talked about the demonstrated performance. Tua and Tyreek and Jalen Waddle and Teron Armstead, all of them are going to have to perform. And if they don't, someone will have to answer not just to what the media said and whatever, but to what, like, your star receiver has said. Man, he said he was the most accurate. He don't look very accurate. Man, he said he was this and that. You don't look, man, are you sure you're so happy to be here? Like, you said all these things. Now you have to answer to it, right? So I'm cool with you saying it, Tyreek. Just be cool to answering to it if it comes week one, week two, week three, week four, week 10, it ain't looking pretty.
But could this take the pressure off of Tyreek, though? Could that also be the reason why?
There was no pressure on Tyreek.
But for this season.
All I got to say is this.
Stop yourself. I like comments.
I like my
compliments. I'm throwing it in there.
Do I need it? No. But I like comments, and I like compliments, and I like my stuff being boosted every now and then. Hey.
I don't know,
we're
but sometimes
human.
People want to say things about other people to make themselves look better, to make themselves look like the knight in shining armor. Yeah. Maybe he's trying to do that for Tua, to be like, you know what, I baked
some
cookies.
Sell a podcast.
Here you go. You know, you never know. There might be a lot more. There might be a lot more to this. Maybe. I don't know. What do you think?
Hey, it is what it is.
And is the lawnmower still going, Sam?
The lawnmower left, the lawnmower returned, right? I have no confidence in this lawnmower. I have no confidence
no
in this
confidence
dude.
How
no
big is your yard, Sam?
Right,
how big
still
is your yard?
The lawn, man.
How big is your yard,
that's
man?
That's a great question, man. That's a great question. We're not getting into personal palatial estates right now, man. Let's keep going.
We have confidence in the performance of that lawnmower.
You don't have to be so technical all the time, Sam.
No. But back to it, Chris. Chris, throw us a life raft here.
I don't know. I got nothing for you
we
guys.
We got nothing. We got nothing. You know what?
Nothing for you guys.
Well, on another note, Tua and Hill will get to show off their new chemistry and prove some people wrong. Maybe put money where their mouth is when they take on the Patriots.
Hey, I'm Molly Karam, and thanks so much for listening to the First Take podcast. Passion, drive, and patience. The formula for winning championships is also what keeps your ride or die alive. eBay Motors has everything you need to maintain your vehicle and level it up to peak performance. Superchargers, roof racks, exhaust kits, LED headlights, and more. Whether you're into speed, power, or style, eBay Motors has you covered. With over 122 million parts for your number one ride or die, you'll always find exactly what you're looking for. And with eBay Guaranteed Fit, your part is guaranteed to fit your ride every time or your money back. Because with eBay Motors, you're burning rubber, not cash. With all the parts you need at the prices you want, it's easy to make your car the MVP and bring home huge wins. Keep your ride or die alive at ebaymotors.com. Eligible items only. Exclusions apply.
Enjoy all your favorite sports like never before at BetMGM. Sign up using code FIRSTTAKE and receive up to $1,500 back in bonus bets if you don't win your first bet. When you register with BetMGM, you'll get instant access to a variety of parlay selection features, live betting options, and the best daily promotions in the business. And with BetMGM at your fingertips, every play and every game matter more than ever. BetMGM and GameSense remind you to gamble responsibly. See BetMGM.com for terms. This U.S. promotional offer not available in D.C., Mississippi, North Carolina, New York, Nevada, Ontario, or Puerto Rico. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-GAMBLER in the U.S. Call 877-8-HOPE-NY or text HOPE-NY-467-369 for New York. Call 1-800-NEXT-STEP in Arizona. For Massachusetts, 1-800-327-5050. For Iowa, 1-800-BETS-OFF. For Puerto Rico, 1-800-981-0023. For West Virginia, visit 1-800-GAMBLER.net. First bet offer for new customers only. Subject to eligibility requirements. Rewards are non-withdrawable bonus bets that expire in 7 days in partnership with Kansas Crossing Casino and Hotel.
Welcome back to First Take. U.S. Secretary of State Antony Blinken said yesterday that a prisoner swap has been presented to Russia for the return of WNBA star Brittney Griner and fellow American Paul Whelan. Griner, who was arrested in February on drug charges at a Moscow airport, testified Wednesday at her trial and denied accusations from prosecutors of drug smuggling. For more perspective, we welcome in ESPN special correspondent Angela Rye, who has previously interviewed Brittney's wife, Sherelle. Now, Angela, how encouraged are you that the Biden administration has offered a deal to Russia aimed at bringing home Brittney Griner and another jailed American?
Well, I'm very pleased that the administration is doing what we expect them to do, and that is to bring Brittney Griner back home. As we sit and talk today, it's been 161 days. And I think the American public should know that this is a proposal that was actually presented in June to the Kremlin, and they've not been responsive. So the news broke yesterday, but the proposal was actually shared with the Kremlin in Russia in June.
Now, what has been the reaction to this latest development by those closest to Brittney Griner?
Well, again, this is a proposal that I believe her family and her closest friends, her teammates, were aware of, right? This is something that they expect. We expect for Paul Whelan to also come home. We expect for this administration to do everything they can. What we also know is that the Department of Justice typically does not like to see the American government engage in prisoner swaps or prisoner exchanges. And I think one thing that's super clear for those who are close to Brittney and those who are following this story is that there's nothing about this this justice system that is parallel to ours. Brittney, from the very beginning, was guilty from their perspective. She signed papers. She talked about during her testimony yesterday having to admit guilt, not fully knowing what she was signing. She has been incarcerated for more than 5 months, again, 161 days. And we're talking about for 0.7 grams of cannabis oil. This is a country where now people have been experienced commutations and pardons in their sentencing from the highest government in the land, from the United States government, right? We are now engaging in those practices. Cannabis is now legal in multiple states. That is not the case for Russia. And so at every turn, we're seeing how this is so very different. They've said that they want Viktor Bout back in Russia. They've said it for years. And the United States government has offered them Viktor Bout in exchange for Brittney Griner and Paul Whelan, and they've gone unresponsive. This is what we're dealing with. We're not talking about playing fair here. And for those who have criticized Brittney's patriotism, right, by saying that she has criticized this country or she's protested this country, as an American citizen, she has that right. fight. She has the desire to see her country get better. She has served this country. She comes from a lineage of people who served this country with a father who's a Vietnam vet. So at this point, the only thing that America can do, the only thing this administration must do, is all that it can to get Brittany back home, including working with Bill Richardson if Russia is more responsive to Bill Richardson. That's my opinion. But I think that whatever needs to be done has to happen. So kudos to everybody who she's working with, talking to, representing her in the courts in Russia. Certainly representation here. Everybody's doing all they can. And shout out to Time for that beautiful cover of Brittany.
Absolutely. Absolutely. I mean, Angela, everything you just said there is just like complete mic drop moment. And that's the thing, is getting Brittany home safely. Now, what do you make of this story this morning that Russia does not seem happy that the U.S. went public through Blinken, that negotiations are going on for Griner's release, indicating that they want any negotiations. They want them to go quietly without fanfare. What are your thoughts on that?
Well, I think that the desire to go privately was ruled out as soon as Brittany walked through the airport terminal with the Black Lives Matter shirt on and they began to search her belongings. You know, right on the other side of that, Russia invaded Ukraine. And so it seems to any reasonable person that this was something that was planned and plotted. And if they wanted her to go quietly, tell me why there are pictures being snapped of her by Russian journalists every time she goes into the courtroom. If they wanted her to go quietly, tell me why it was really expected for her to testify if she wanted to mitigate the sentence at all. It doesn't seem like they want her to be quiet, or their dealings with Brittany to be quiet, but they want our side to be quiet. That doesn't make sense. And again, I'm telling you, they're not playing fair. So it's a really tough position and a precarious position that the administration is in. If they offered Victor Bout in June, as has been discussed, and we're almost in August, what recourse have they really given them? We know, of course, Brittany is expected to be ending her trial in the first week in August. It's time to play ball, and no pun intended. Russia's got to step up and be responsive to the offer initiated by this administration. It's just time. That's where the pressure belongs on now, on Russia and the Kremlin.
They're absolutely. It is time. The time is now. And Angela, why has it taken this long?
Your guess is as good as mine. What I can tell you is, by the Russian government keeping Brittany there, they believe they are strengthening their bargaining leverage. We've known from the beginning, even before really the United States finally classified her detention as wrongful, we've known for some time that Brittany was being used as a bargaining chip, as a political pawn. So I don't know what else they need to do or see. This is someone who hasn't just served the United States. She's also served Russia, right?
Yes.
She has won championships for her team in Russia. Her GM, her teammates have testified to that fact. Like, this is someone who is a global sports icon, and they could at least give her that respect, knowing that she's also, in many ways, paid a great service to Russia.
Absolutely. And Angela, in your opinion, based on what you know now, based on what's recently broke in the news, when is the soonest that Brittany could be coming home?
Again, that's something I do not know. If it were up to me, it would have been 160 days ago.
Yeah.
Right. But this is something that has gone on for far too long. It's something that threatens global sports, because now people are going to be afraid to play overseas. What happens if there's conflict, right?
Yeah.
So I don't know when she'll be home. But as I said, I'm hoping that Russia will do the right thing for once and be responsive to this deal that was offered by the United States in June. Mm-hmm. Again, almost 2 months ago, we're talking about. It's time for them to be responsive. The ball is completely in their court. There's nothing else that the United States can do. And I'm really hoping that they will be responsive to this. I would tell people that it's still very important that the American public learns this story, that the United States government understands that we stand united on this front, that we want Brittany and all detainees to come home. And this should just never happen again. But this is a human rights issue. It's a human rights crisis, and it has to be dealt with.
Yes, I couldn't have said it better than what you said, Angela. Thank you so much for joining us this morning. United we stand, and doing the right thing and praying for Brittany and other detainees to come home safely. Thank you, Angela.
Hey, hey, I'm Molly Karam, and thanks so much for listening to the First Take podcast. You can now stream the most MLB games on DirecTV without a satellite dish. Yes, catch the clutch hits, strikeouts, grand salamis, web gems with nothing on your roof. So whoever's up there, whether it's roofers, Santa, birds, old-time chimney sweepers, moody teenagers, thrill-seeking raccoons, you name it, they won't find a satellite dish, but you will find your MLB games on DirecTV. That means DirecTV is your home for baseball this season. Root, root, root with nothing on your roof. Yes, stream your team. Call 1-800-DIRECTV or visit DirecTV.com to sign up today. Claim based on the total games carried on sports networks. Sports availability varies by zip code and requires choice package. Thanks so much for listening to the First Take Pod. Have a fabulous day.
Welcome back to First Take. Time for a quick take, and we have a breaking news coming from Jenna Lane. Bucks center Ryan Jensen just went down. A golf cart came out to get him, and all teammates huddled around him. He's heading to the training room. Harry, your reaction?
Oh, this is not good. This is not good for the Tampa Bay Buccaneers when you already lost Alex Kappa and Ali Marpet, who decided he was going to retire. But then you still have Donovan Smith. You have Tristan Wirfs. You traded for Shaq Mason, but one of the things I know about Tom Brady, he doesn't like pressure up the middle, right? And normally when you see that, he's the guy that's just going to go right down so he doesn't have to take any unnecessary hits. Ryan Jensen, the importance of a center is very, very valuable to any team. I don't care what team it is, Better Young, Tom Brady, and the Tampa Bay Buccaneers. So if he's out for a long period of time or he's going to miss a season, that's not going to be good for the Buccaneers.
Of course, we're hoping he's okay. Now moving on to Dallas, the Cowboys have started training camp where Ezekiel Elliott gears up for his seventh NFL season. Elliott coming off of last season with a career-low 237 rushes for 1,002 yards, 10 touchdowns, and a career-worst 58.9 yards per game, and looks forward to being more effective this year. And he has the full support of his head coach, Mike McCarthy. Take a listen.
Zeke Elliott's one of our rocks on this team. I mean, he's a keystone player. You see all the extra work that he puts in pre-practice, post-practice, in there on Tuesdays. I mean, he's in the quarterback meetings in the morning. So the physical part of it, you know, he overcame a lot to play, and I think that speaks volumes about him, and you need those type of individuals to win championships.
Now, Candy, do you believe the Cowboys can count on Zeke as an impact player this season?
No, I don't. And I'll take it a step further, Victoria. I don't think Zeke Elliott ends up being the starting running back at the end of the season. If you look at 2021, there were only five teams that had fewer broken tackles on rush attempts. And the Dallas Cowboys offensive line only had five teams that had a better run block win rate. So what does that tell you? That the running back for the Dallas Cowboys is not getting the mileage that he should out of the run plays based on how the offensive line is blocking it up. And Ezekiel Elliott, compared to Tony Pollard, who shares the backfield with him, only had two more broken tackles on run plays despite having 107 more rush attempts. Guys, the evidence is there. Ezekiel Elliott's production is going downhill. His career arc is trending in the wrong way. And unfortunately, I don't think he's going to be the focal point for the Dallas Cowboys run game for the entirety of 2022.
Yeah, and he shouldn't be, right? He shouldn't be the focal point. But if he's not the focal point, I think the Cowboys can count on him. Here's what I mean by that. Don't try and force the ball down Ezekiel. Don't try and force the ball or force feed Ezekiel Elliott. Still rely on Zach and I understand on Dak. And I understand that the weapons on the outside aren't what they used to be. But what we saw last year is we saw Ezekiel Elliott basically limp through the season. He limped through the season. We didn't see a lot on the injury report, but you saw it on film, right? Well, if he's healthier this year, you don't want to see that same Zeke. And so, yes, get Tony Pollard more involved. I get that. But you don't need to be a run-first team. If you want to be effective, you need to have Zeke for the long run, have Tony Pollard for the long run, and don't do what you did to him this year. Don't do what you did last year.
Yeah, I would say for the Dallas Cowboys to even have success, I think a guy like Zeke Elliott has to be very valuable to their team. When you look at over the years, and this is the thing about Mike McCarthy coming from Green Bay, and as soon as he came from Green Bay, I said, man, we're probably going to see a little bit decline in Ezekiel Elliott because Mike McCarthy, he treasures the pass game more so than the run game. Now, I understand they were a decent run game last year, but when I look at this team, after game five, they didn't have not one 100-yard rusher. I think they had eight times where the running back had the leading rusher in games had 55 yards or less. You have to be committed to it. But like I said, be more dynamic. If you're Kellen Moore, be more dynamic in your run schemes and your run game. So everything isn't so predictable from the defensive standpoint. But I do believe if the Cowboys want to have success, that Ezekiel Elliott has to, number one, be healthy, and they also have to feed him the football. Not saying they got to force feed it, but give him the football enough so he can make impact plays. Because we do know when Ezekiel Elliott gets downhill, he's one of the toughest running backs to tackle. Now, Chris, I won't say I 100% agree with you. I do believe Tony Pollard's going to play a big part in what the Cowboys want to do offensively. He's a guy that can do it in the pass game, the run game, and also do it on a return. So they're going to figure out a way to get him on the football field. And if you have to put two guys, two backs in the backfield, do it if needs be.
Yeah, Harry, you're absolutely right. Most teams do a running back by committee anyway, so I can understand where you're coming from with that suggestion. But the reality is that Tony Pollard had, what, 250 yards less than Ezekiel Elliott rushing the football, and yet he had over 100 fewer attempts in the run game. So I just look at it from a productivity standpoint. Tony Pollard seems like a much better option for the Dallas Cowboys in terms of increasing his work rate. Now, the one thing that both of those guys have working against them is that you have some losses on that offense that are going to impact them in a negative way. You lost Connor Williams in free agency. You had to cut Lyle Collins because he's a cap casualty. You don't have Amari Cooper, a true number one receiver that can dictate front end coverage and keep a light box. So those guys are going to have to try to figure out a way to be able to get more productivity, knowing that from a personnel standpoint, they're not going to have the same group or the same caliber of players up front to be able to open the holes up for them. So I recognize that the Dallas Cowboys have been an organization and offense that's been led by their run game, but I think we're in this state now where they're going to transition to being more reliant on Dak Prescott trying to be a false multiplier rather than Ezekiel Elliott and Tony Pollard being bell cow players.
Well, Chris, I'll just put that on Kellen Moore. He got to be more dynamic when he designing run plays. It can't be predictable. And runs that they had last year, in numerous of occasions, you've seen that run game be stagnant and the guys not be able to get it done. Lyle Collins is going to be missed. Connor Williams is going to be missed. You are going to have new guys on that offensive line. But Kellen Moore has to be more dynamic when designing a run game against opponents when it comes to Ezekiel Elliott and Tony Pollard, both guys.
Now, I feel like, you know, with Elliott, his rushing, his per game rushing average has dropped each season. I mean, from his rookie year to now, it's been pretty much slashed in half, 108 to 58, I think, just about. But a big reason for the drop last year was he did have that partially torn ligament in his right knee that he suffered game four. You got to be healthy.
First Take fans, listen up. Have you heard you can listen to episodes of this very show ad-free on Amazon Music, included with your Prime membership? That's right. All your favorite First Take episodes can be heard on Amazon Music ad-free. But that's not all. You can listen to other top podcasts like The Low Post and PTI ad-free as well. They also have favorite shows like The Daily, Part of My Take, and Up First, all without ads. You know what this means? Uninterrupted listening, so no more cliffhangers. Amazon Music offers the most ad-free top podcasts, so we know they definitely have something for you. And it's already included in your Prime membership. To start listening, download the Amazon Music app for free or go to Amazon.com/First Take. That's Amazon.com/First Take to catch up on the latest episodes without the ads.
Now, the New York Giants started training camp Wednesday, and Saquon Barkley is already showing out. The former Penn State running back made a one-handed snag in the end zone, and he made it look easy while going through catching drills. So the top three picks in the 2018 NFL draft all have something to prove this season, as none of them have lived up to their draft position. Baker Mayfield and Sam Darnold are now competing for the starting job in Carolina, and Saquon Barkley looks to bounce back after a couple of injury-riddled seasons. And so, Harry, I'm going to start with you. Which top three pick can live up to their draft status?
Yeah, I'm gonna go with Saquon Barkley here because he's the only guy on that list that can't be 1-2 in turnovers since they came into the league in 2018. Also, they have a new head coach in Brian Daboll with the New York Football Giants, and you have a guy there, quarterback-wise, that you want to get him going. What's the best way to get him going? A run game. Now, I know Brian Daboll didn't do it when he was in Buffalo, but he sure as hell better do it while he's here in New York if you even want your quarterback to have a chance and your team to be good. So I'm going to go with Saquon here.
All right. What about you, Chris?
Harry, I don't know about that one, man. You're talking about a guy, since he's drafted, his team has a 19-46 record. And I get that a lot of the offensive line issues have limited the productivity of Saquon Barkley. But in his rookie year, which was the only season that he played all 16 games, he had over 2,000 yards from scrimmage. Since then, it's gone down incrementally. And over the last 2 years, you're talking about a guy that's played in a combined 15 games. So I don't necessarily see Saquon Barkley having this huge jump in terms of production, because Saquon Barkley hasn't shown the ability to be able to stay healthy, and he hasn't shown the ability to be able to make guys miss, to be able to get those tough yards in between the tackles, and be one of those guys that you can rely on in pass protection. Those are all areas of his game that he has to improve on. When we think about Saquon Barkley, I get that he has that star power, but right now he's a star by name only. He has that cachet because he plays in one of the biggest markets. He came in with a lot of expectation, but guys, this is not a running back that is a difference maker. When you talk about only having one broken tackle per 40 rush attempts, that's a problem. That is who Saquon Barkley was in 2021, and I certainly don't see it getting much better in 2022.
Hey, Kent, you got a lot of stats and a lot of information to back that up, but you're saying it's not going to be Saquon. Who is it going to be? Like, is it going to be Baker? Is it going to be Sam Darnold? Like, which one? A lot of stats and facts. I'm like, listen,
can I?
Who are you picking, Chris?
None of the above.
Who are you picking? Who are you picking?
All right, feet to the fire, because I don't like any of these guys. I'm going to take Baker Mayfield. Why?
Okay.
Because I at least have some evidence that the guy can have some success. He did once upon a time lead his team to the playoffs. He won a playoff game on the road. I'm going to take Baker Mayfield, but I ain't saying it with my chest because I ain't got no confidence in none of these dudes.
Turnover machines, both of them.
Speaking of confidence,
one of them seeing ghosts during a game.
You know,
I'm going with Saquon. The hell with the other
two. You know, we should go with Sam because, you know, the lawnmower saga continued in the beginning of this show. And so let's go with this pick. Let's go with this pick of Sam, shall we? Because the lawn isn't going to mow itself, right? We're going to go with Sam. He's our pick. He's our pick here.
I love that picture. First of all, send me that. Secondly, shout out one of my homies, Tyler Lancaster, played for the Packers, just signed with the Vegas Raiders. He bought this super expensive lawnmower for a super big lawn. I think I need to get one like that so I can get rid of these lawnmower issues that we're having at the Acho Palatial Estate.
Oh, so Sam, you do have a big yard. See, you answered the question without even realizing you was answering the question. That's all you had to do the first time,
but
Sam.
But Harry, you're not out of this. You're not out of this either, Harry, because I believe you Uber Eats Nobu.
Yeah, I Uber Eats Nobu last night.
Wow, that's fancy.
There's a lot.
Sometimes you need to treat yourself.
That's fancy.
Treat yourself.
I've been waking up at 3 a.m., 3:15 every day. I'm grinding, and I love the grind. Trust me. I said, you know what? I'm going to go to bed and watch the Subway series with some Nobu.
We got Sam getting a new lawnmower.
Harry, that's Sam. That Sam Acho lawnmower photo is cap because Sam Acho ain't cutting his own grass.
Yes. It's photoshopped. But maybe with the, you know, maybe with the right lawnmower. But that's going to do it for us here on Thursday for First Take. A very eclectic ending, I'd say so.
Have you ridden an electric e-bike yet? You need to check out Electric E-Bikes today, the number one selling e-bike in America. Two things stand out that bikers love about Lectric. Number one, the majority of their models come pre-assembled, so you don't need to be a bike savant to ride them. Number two, Lectric wants to empower riders to spend more time exploring outside on their bikes, so they've made range a priority. Long-range batteries allow riders to hit typically around 65 miles of range or up to 150 miles on some models. Bonus, Lectric has purposefully priced their bikes to be affordably awesome, so you don't have to break the bank to get these sweet rides. See why people who have made the switch to electric bikes have fallen in love with biking again by visiting electricebikes.com. That's LECTRIC ebikes.com.